You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Everybody ready for the Word?
Yes.
Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, 1st chapter. You know, we've been teaching on finances and actually the last couple of weeks, and we talked a lot about first getting out of your mind that God doesn't want you to prosper. God does want you to prosper. Hello?
Amen.
I think as Christians, as believers in churches, we kind of have the idea that God wants us poor, that there's some sort of, you know, humility or piety out of poverty. And that's foreign to the Scripture. The Scripture does not teach that. In fact, it tells us to give to the poor. And the Bible is filled with principles of bettering our life, not just spiritually, not just maritally, not just emotionally, not just solically, but also financially. In fact, many of the richest men we know of historically were biblical characters. I mean, Abraham was very rich in gold, cattle, and silver. And there was nobody, as far as we know, ever as rich as Solomon. Even, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. Even Oprah, you know. I mean, Solomon was, there never has been, never will ever be anybody as rich as Solomon because God said so. And it was amazing how prosperous and abundantly prosperous he was. And God made him that way. Now, often people will say, and this is just a pull of the devil, they'll say, well, look what it did to him. Well, the riches did not do that to him. The reason he got in sin was because, now, women, stay with me, was because all those wives he had. I'm not saying a slam against women. I love women. I think that's great, but I think a man ought to have one wife. Amen, honey. And what he did, if you will study Solomon's life, what he did, he would do these political marriages. He would marry into, say, the king's daughter of another country, make pacts with them and so on and so forth. Then he would bring in his wife into his harem, as it were, and he would actually build temples to their gods. That's where he messed up. He messed up where he got away from God. Now, the riches, the finances, God gave him those. So your attitude toward money is what determines what you do with it, not money. Money doesn't corrupt anybody. Did you know that? Money doesn't do anything to anybody. All money does is just reveal who you are. If it wasn't already there, you wouldn't have a problem with it. And you know what? Money in itself, let me tell you this, money really doesn't change a lot of people. I mean, people that don't handle their money, they still can't handle it if you gave them money. And all you got to do is look at people who win the lotto and just look at the statistics of people that go bankrupt in just a matter of a few years. The money wasn't a problem. It was the way they were managing their money. So I think a lot of times we're just asking for more money, and God wants to prosper. Stay with me. I believe that. I believe in prosperity. But what we need to do is ask God for wisdom to handle our money. And really, if you want to know the truth, it's not the landslide or the big ship coming in that we often think about. One day I'm going to hit that lotto. Well, you stay away from that lotto. You need to believe God. Don't have a hasty eye to get rich. The Bible, talks about that. That ship's never coming in because, see, we haven't got one out there. That went over real big. God will prosper us through wisdom. He'll prosper us through management. He'll prosper us through us getting a hold of where we are. If we're faithful in the little, Jesus said he'll put us over much. And you know what he was talking about when he said that? He was talking about money. He was talking about a steward that was wise with his money. And he says, if you cannot be faithful with a mammon of unrighteousness, how will God trust you with the true riches? He that is faithful in little will be put over much. So if you're faithful with the little that you have, in other words, ask God, what can I do with what I have? You have more money than you think you do. You're probably spending more money than you think you are. And that's why God talks about things like budgets and savings, and he talks about borrowing and co-signing. In fact, we've discussed some of those things. We've taught on love, serve, and trust God, your attitude, not your possessions. We taught on he teaches us to profit. Everybody say teaches us.
Teaches us.
I think that's important. He doesn't just rain it or cause it to fall out of heaven. He actually teaches us to profit. He gives us wisdom to use good sense with our money, to balance our checkbook. Wow. That can be done. You know, I mentioned one time a lady that used to go to our church and would go to the bank every day and see what her balance was. Pull up to the drive-thru and ask the checker or the teller to look and to tell her what the teller to tell her what the balance was. You say, how do you know that? Because the teller goes to church here. Hello. And besides that, it's Will's point. Not much to see, but what you hear makes up for it. Anyway, couldn't balance the checkbook. Not only the person wouldn't just come and do that once, sometimes two and three times a day, and would argue with the teller and say, well, I just wrote a check. That's no way I could have the same balance. Not understand checks take time to go through and so on, you know, and all these kinds of things. Thought she still had money. How could you be out of money? I still got checks left. Look at my checkbook. I got 50 checks left. I can't be out of money. You know, that's our thinking sometimes. But you need to get a grip on it and start balancing your check, but using wisdom concerning it. I'm believing God and trusting God to prosper, but He prospers me through teaching me. He teaches me to prosper. We taught on that. We taught on God gives us the power to get wealth. He gives us the power to get wealth. You know, He told Joshua, if you do all these things, He said, you will make your way prosperous. You will. Ooh, I love that. So we got to use some sense here. And then, of course, we got into God's number one way of prospering you, which is work, job. Hello. There's a whole book dedicated to job. No, I'm just kidding. That's Job. Excuse me. Okay. And then we got into some nitty-gritty things like borrowing, co-signing, budgeting, saving, what the Bible says about that. We didn't go into any specifics on how you work that out in your life, but we just want to let you know and let you see and understand that the Bible addresses those topics and talks about them. And he talks about not borrowing. You know, borrowing it makes sense on a house as opposed to renting. There are cases where it makes sense, but I think in most cases we borrow things we don't need to be borrowing for. And we're not even believing God to quit borrowing. We need to believe God to get out of debt where we don't borrow, where we lend and not borrow. Amen? And believe God to get our mortgage paid off and so on and so forth. But that takes effort. It takes some changing of our handling of finances and the way we spend our money. Budget will give you some wisdom concerning that. You know, budgeting is just telling your money where to go as opposed to wondering where it went. It's a plan for spending. I always like to say this at the end of the month. You know, it's when you get to the end of the month and you got more bills and you got money and you always say, well, man, where did all the money go? Well, you spent it. Hello. But without a budget, you don't know where you spent it. You don't know where it went. And so that'll account for a lot of things that we buy that we wouldn't normally do if we had a budget. Now, I'm saying all this and it sounds real practical, and it is, and it sounds so natural. Well, it's natural in the way we apply it, but let's back up a minute. It's in the Bible. This is spiritual. This is what God says. Maybe this sounds similar to financial plans. Maybe it sounds similar to budgeting plans. Maybe it sounds similar to secular teaching on money management. But you know what? They don't have the market on it. God said it before they did. And so all they're doing is getting a hold of principles that the Bible already teaches. And this will help you if you understand this. If you can connect a scripture to this thing, when the going gets tough, and it will, my brother and sister, it will get tough. If you try this, you're going to have opportunities to quit. You're going to be tempted to quit, give up, throw the towel in because it's going to take some effort, maybe even a little pain, adjusting the way you spend your money and so on. But if you know it's God's Word and you have it in the Bible and you got Scripture on it, you can stay the course. You can say, this will work because it's God's Word. That's why I say these things and teach these things, because we need to understand it. Although it is practical, it is biblical. We talk about our church prospering, and we're very excited about that, and it's a great testimony. We talk about being out of debt. We talk about giving free to our community, Hallelujah Night, which costs $8,000 to $10,000 to $12,000. We just do it to bless the children, to give them a safe night, to hear about Jesus on what traditionally is an evil night, a night of vandalism and everything else. Our chief of police in our town said his crime has gone down in our community because of Hallelujah Night. We've been a blessing to Will's Point because of that. But see, we didn't just come up with that money overnight. We set that aside throughout the year. We're believing God for it, yes, but we're doing what we can do. Are you with me? We're out of debt. Our bills are paid. Hello. But even getting our bills paid and our loans paid off, it didn't happen overnight. We dedicated money, this V money, to put on those bills. Are you with me? Extra, not our payment, above our payment, to decrease the interest on those loans, decrease the principal on the loans. And then they got paid off early. We did have a miracle. Jerry Seville came and paid the last $18,500 off on our bill and wrote a check for it and just said God spoke to him. And we've been trying to get him back ever since. But now listen, listen to this. We had it down to $18,500. And when we started that journey, we owed about $200,000, I think. We had about three loans, Ron and Mo could tell you. And we got serious, and God gave us a plan, and we stuck with a plan. And so we talk about supernatural, debt being taken away and all that, how God has prospered us. But, you know, we've been doing things. We've been doing things. And I don't want to leave that out. I don't want you to think that all you got to do is just quote Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and do nothing, and it's going to work for you. Or, another misconception, just give and it'll be okay. No, not so. You've got to do more than just give. Giving gets the blessing of God on you, yes, but it gets the blessing of God on what you do. And if you don't do it right, if you don't do anything, there's nothing for God to bless. Are you with me? You cannot give your way out of debt. You cannot tithe your way out of debt. You got to do something else. You need to work. And God puts the blessing on your work because you give. Now, I'm talking to those that, you know, that have a job. I know some people are retired and you've worked. Well, ask God to bless your retirement and bless your investments and so on and so forth. Okay, having said that, y'all found 2 Chronicles, first chapter?
Yes.
I just want to give plenty of time to get there. Okay. 2 Chronicles, here's the case of Solomon. And let's go through it just without a lot of comment because I have a lot of scriptures I want to get to. Hallelujah. And tonight, if it goes that direction, we'll teach on investing and we're going to teach on tithing and giving because that is part of it. I want to minister just this morning really on just wisdom, that wealth comes through wisdom. It comes through right teaching. And we've ministered somewhat along these lines, but these are scriptures I haven't really delved into. We haven't looked at. Here we have Solomon becoming king. He was a very young man, in fact, just a teenager. And he became king, and he's praying to God about running the empire, as it were, running the kingdom. And it says here in the first chapter of 2 Chronicles 6 verse, Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. Wow. He was serious, wasn't he? On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give you? You know the story. And he just showed up and he said, ask me what is it that you want me to give you? I mean, this is the genie in the bottle deal all over again, but this really happened. This is not a fairy tale. This really did happen. That's a big question. What would you ask? I know, being logical, analytical like you are, you would ask for more wishes. Doesn't work that way with God. God wanted him to know what was his heart, what was in his heart. And this is an amazing story. It says, and Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David my father and have made him king, me king in his place. Now, O Lord, let your promise to David my father be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth and multitude. Now, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours? Wow. Man, who wants that? No, don't give me wisdom with my finances. God, just give me some money. Are you with me? You know what I'm saying? You give a guy a fish, he'll eat for a day. You teach a guy to fish, and you'll be spending all your time with Dick Bradley. No, you teach a guy to fish, and he'll eat for a lifetime. Now, would you rather have $1 million? Stay with me on this now. Would you rather have $1 million or the ability to make $1 million anytime you needed it? I think I'd go for the ability. Because it didn't matter what happened or what circumstances took place or what tragedy happened in my life. I know with the wisdom of God and the Word of God, I could pull myself back out again. I could make it again. I can get through this thing. Are you with me? I can learn whatever state I am to be content therewith because I know the Word works. It may look bad, but I don't have any fear. I don't panic. I don't go into panic mode. I can trust God, and God will help me get out of this thing. I'm not looking for a quick fix. I'm looking for a lifestyle.
Amen.
Hello. So he asked God for wisdom. 11th verse, God was so pleased with this. Now, if this pleased God then, it'll please God now. If you want to please God, here's where your heart should be. God, you tell me what you want me to do. In fact, you know what? Honestly, if you look at that thing, I know I'm really generalizing it and making it simplistic, but I think there is a lot of simplicity to this thing. God is saying, ask me what you want. And he's saying, God, what is it that you want from me? You say, well, I thought I asked for wisdom. Well, yeah, that's what wisdom is. Lord, you tell me what you want me to do. Hello? That's powerful. That is powerful. God's saying, you ask me whatever you want. And I go back and I say, God, here I am. You ask me whatever you want. That's what I want. I want what you want. I want you to tell me what you want me to do. Because that's all wisdom is. Wisdom is just doing what God's telling you to do. Isn't that right? And so Solomon is saying, Lord, I got to rule all this people. I can't do that. Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to tell me what you want me to do. Give me wisdom. See, wisdom is going to be instruction. Wisdom is going to be some commandments, some admonition. God's going to say, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to do that. So when you're asking for wisdom, you are setting yourself up to be used by God. That's a good thing. Because now God can bless that. Now God's not trying to bless your plan. God has given you His plan. It's already blessed. Isn't that great? Because what we do, you know, we get in a big mess. We start a big plan. And then we're asking, God, help me. Help me bless this thing. And we never pray to ask God to start with. We never got His plan. We just got our plan. See, if you'll spend your whole life trying to get God to bless your plans, and most of them are just not of God anyway, and He can't bless them, and you'll be going up and down, just one mess after another. But if you'll just hit your knees and ask for God's plan to start with, you don't have to spend any time asking God to bless it. It's already blessed. It's His plan. It works. So He asked for wisdom. Everybody say, ask for wisdom. Oh, this is good stuff. This is better preaching. Y'all are amening. Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, 11th verse, and you have not asked riches or wealth or the honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. Now, it doesn't take a lot of snap to figure this out. It's real simple. How did Solomon get so wise? He asked for it. Y'all get it in a minute. If you want wisdom, how do you get it? He asked for it. Ooh, wow, this is good, isn't it? Well, I'm just not that smart. Well, I know how you can get some smarts. Ask for it. Now, Ken, a bunch of us guys, we work out together. Ken gets this smart water. It's called smart water. I'm not so sure if it works or not, but I'm just, no offense, Ken. But if you really want to get smart, it's not the water. No, no, no. And stay away from that Peter Pan peanut butter. My goodness. If you got stock in that company, you better bail out right now, I'm telling you, because they're going to need some help. Anyway, Dick's going, amen, he ate some of that. You know, Norma got some of that. I don't know if y'all heard that. Now, Chris, you may have to cut this out. This is some editing job for Chris. But they announced this last week, if Peter Pan peanut butter with a certain coat on the top, people are getting sick from it. And they have had some major problems. There's lawsuits flying right now. Dick just opened a brand new can, a couple weeks ago? When was that? And just got sick because the dog had that very coat on the top of it. Norma did the same thing. And it had the same coat on the top. So you might look at your peanut. Hey, Luke, Jiffy. I've always eaten Jiffy anyway. Huh? Jiff. Yeah, Jiff. Do what? Yeah, well, you go right ahead. I think I'm going to throw mine away. And I think that's okay if you want to jump off the bridge and hope that, you know, God. But anyway. Didn't know, I know. Not everybody got. But people, there were some problems with that. You might check that out. Now, okay, editing's done. We've cut that out, and we're starting back with the teaching. Now, thank God for television and computers and all that. He says, 11th verse again, he says, because this was in your heart. 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 What's in your heart? That's a good question. Are you just wanting to make money? Oh, no, wait a minute. That's not right. No, your heart should be. You want to help. You want to bless. You want to be a blessing. And money's a part of that, sure. And yes, I want to prosper so I can be a blessing. But I don't want to just make money so I can have more things. I think you ought to get to the point where you get a nice home and you're happy with it. You know, if you're saying, I'm always going to get a bigger home and a bigger home and bigger. Well, you're never going to be satisfied. Your eye will never fill up. The cars will just keep coming. You'll have to have more cars and more houses. And, oh, come on. Get something you like. Stay there. And then ask God to bless you so you can help others.
That's right.
I'd rather just live off 10% and give 90%. I'd love to just give all the money away and just have so much money that only takes about 10% of my income to make it. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes.
And to be a blessing to people where people need help, you can go help them. And you know, people that are trying to get their homes paid for, God may speak to you, go help pay their home off. you know. But if you don't have any money, you can't do that. I mean, what good would it do for God to tell me to give somebody $1 million? Yeah, listen, that'd just be a waste of time. I don't have $1 million. You see how silly this is? Because we often say that. We'll say, oh man, I wish I had $1 million. If I had $1 million, I would, you know, I'm believing God for $1 million to give. Well, okay. Are you believing God for a plan to make that million? Well, no, I'm just believing God for $1 million. Yeah. Well, it doesn't happen that way. You've got to have a plan to get there. Do you have a plan? Well, I never thought about that. Yeah. Well, it's through wisdom that you prosper. See, Solomon, it says here that God gave him riches and honor. In fact, he said in the 12th verse, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. Wow. Now, if you think about it, how did he get those riches after this incident? He got it through his wisdom. He got it through the wisdom God gave him. That's what we need. We need wisdom. God, help me with my finances. You know, that old pogo cartoon, I've talked about it many times. We have found the enemy, and he is us. You know, sometimes we're our own worst enemy, financially speaking. And so God will help us change our habits, change our spending habits, change our, you know, the way we handle our money and so on and so forth. And he'll bless us through the wisdom that he gives us. In fact, turn over to Proverbs 3. This is just reiterated in Proverbs over and over. And Psalms. If we have time, we'll get there too. In Proverbs 3, right after Proverbs 2. Just want to help you. Proverbs 3 talks about wisdom. The other day I was talking to Dale and Cheryl Watkins. They're up in, I guess they're up in Children's Church this morning. They were reading in Proverbs 3 and Proverbs 8, and that's exactly where I'll be going today if we have time to get there. And we were talking about finances and how that wisdom is the key, and that's what we need to get a hold of. And we just got all excited just talking back and forth and preaching to each other about the Word. And I tell you, that's where it is. Prosperity comes through you giving yourself over to God. Prosperity comes from giving yourself over to the Word. Are you with me? Putting Him first. Having this in your heart. God, I want to be used by you. I want you to tell me what you want me to do. I realize I'm the problem. I want to be fixed. Remember the prophecy we had just earlier in the service, the tongue interpretation? You know, come hungry. God's looking for hungry people, people who know they're not fulfilled except through Him, people who know they can do nothing without Christ. And that's me. I know I'm nothing without Him. I'm under no illusion here. I'm not just a smart guy, classy guy. I know what I could do before I got saved, and it was nothing. Okay? I was going downhill fast, but Jesus changed my life, and He's still changing my life. And if anything I am, any good at all, if I've helped or blessed anybody, I'll tell you, He gets all the glory, not me. And I know that. I know that. So there's nobody special here. Not me, not you, not anybody. Jesus is the star. And the good news is that we can all be used, and we can all change, and we can all get better if we'll just listen to God and hear what He has to say to us. Amen? So here He says in Proverbs 3, verse 13, happy is the man who finds wisdom. Everybody say happy. All right, if you want to be happy, find wisdom. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and a man who gains understanding. For the proceeds are better, her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. This is better than gold. This is better than silver. You may be thinking, what's better than gold and what's better than silver? Wisdom. Why is that? Because wisdom can get silver, but silver can't get wisdom. Wisdom can get gold, but gold can't buy you wisdom. One's the thing, one's the ability to get the thing anytime you need it. Oh, come on, I'd rather have the wisdom. Give me the wisdom. Amen? Show me what you want me to do. Put me in that driver's seat instead of the devil running my... Now, I understand God's in our driver's seat, but I'm saying put me in control. And God wants you in control, Him guiding you, Him giving you wisdom. He doesn't want things to control you. See, and when people get in sin with money, it's when they let money control them. We think many times we have something. We don't. It has us. Good way to find out. I heard this a long time ago. If you can't let go of it, it's got you. If you can let it go, you got it. There's a big difference between having money and money having you. And God doesn't want anything to have you except Him. Are you with me? Okay, so he says, happy man gets wisdom. Her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. Her gain than fine gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Isn't that something? So all those things he's comparing it to are with her. If you get her, if you get wisdom, all the rest of it will come along. Oh, you know, I've heard this. I believe it's C.S. Lewis said this. One of his books, he said, if you go after this earth, you're going to lose it in heaven too. If you go after heaven, you'll get heaven and the earth thrown in free. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Amen. Put Him first. Ask for wisdom. God, here I am. Speak to me what I need to do. Examine my life. Examine my finances. Give me wisdom. Show me what you'd have me do. What I need to adjust. What I need to change. As long as I don't have to stop buying Starbucks coffee. Okay. 17th verse. Her ways, wisdom, are ways of pleasantness. Her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Oh, hallelujah. Man, give me wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. I want wisdom. That's where peace comes from. That's where contentment comes from. It's from wisdom. Knowing what's going on. You know, knowing where I'm going. I mean, if you have no destination in mind, any road will get you there. If that's your focus, if that's your aim, you'll be hitting 100% all the time because you'll always get nowhere by aiming at nowhere. I'm not aiming for nowhere. I'm aiming for the blessing of God. I'm aiming for the will of God and the promise of God in my life. And there's things I got to do to get there, and that's listen to Him and use His wisdom. Turn over to Proverbs 8. Praise God. This helping you? Proverbs 8 notes this in the 12th verse. I, wisdom, Proverbs 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles and all the judges of the earth. Well, those rich people, they got all that money. How come they have all that money and I don't? Because they have wisdom and you don't. Not everybody inherited their wealth. In fact, it's just, if you know anything about, you know, there's a lot of books out there. There's one book called The Millionaire Next Door, The Millionaire Mind. If you read books like that, you'll find out that most millionaires did not inherit their wealth. Most of them made their wealth by the decisions that they made. By just, they budgeted. They looked at their finances. They worked hard. They did some things that got them to where they are. We have the idea when we see someone with a lot of money that, you know, that they either, they're drug pushers or something, you know. Oh, somebody's got a nice car. Oh, there goes the mafia. Hello. But no, that's not true. Wealthy people they add better than we do. I'm not putting we in that category. I'm just saying that as a matter of, you know, course here, that we've got to start looking at the figures better. We've got to be praying, ask God to give us wisdom, look at the way we handle our money, ask God to help us. It is by wisdom that kings rule. It is by wisdom that nobles rule, that princes rule. How? By wisdom. So if I got wisdom, I could do better. Yes, you could. In fact, you'll be happy if you'll get wisdom. Because riches and honor is in her left hand. And length of days in her right. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. So he said, I love those that love me, 17th verse. And those who seek me, wisdom diligently, will find me. This is attainable. This is reach. I want to encourage you this morning. It's not hopeless. Don't throw the towel in. You're not doomed to be where you are financially speaking the rest of your life. You can rise above it. You can get better. You can do better. You can because God says you can. All right? Are you with me? You will find wisdom if you seek her. If you make it your goal, if you pray, if you seek God, if you ask for wisdom, you get in the Word, God will speak to you. He'll give you wisdom. He'll help you. He'll cause you to make adjustments and tell you what you need to do. So don't you throw the towel in. Don't you give up. Don't you say it's hopeless. Don't you say, well, you know, I'm not in that segment or society. Oh, come on, who cares where you came from? We don't care where you came from. We're very much concerned where you're going. It doesn't matter where you came from. You can determine where you're going. You can't change where you came from, but you can sure change where you're going. And God bless your parents and your you know, whatever family you came from. That's not to belittle them by any sense or stretch of the imagination. But listen, listen now, listen. Your destiny is your decision, not your parents' decision, not your upbringing's decision. What you do with your future is your choice, the choices you make. And God wants you to make the right ones, and He wants to give you the right choices, but you've got to dig in there and find out what they are. Amen? And you can make a difference. You can make a change. Riches and honor, 18th verse, are with me. Who's me? Wisdom. Wisdom. So here we are talking about wealth. Well, wealth comes through wisdom. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness, or walk about, travel, in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Wow, did y'all get that? Now listen, this is not some prosperity, extreme prosperity teaching. Oh, it's teaching on prosperity. But this is Bible. This is what the Word says. What does He say? He says that wisdom will cause you to inherit wealth. That's right. Now see, the wrong thing to do here would say, well, give me the money. No, you missed it. Give me the wisdom. That's right. Well, I'm going after the money. No, you go after wisdom.
That's right.
Go after. You getting it? Don't get turned around here. Go after wisdom, because wisdom causes you to inherit wealth. So pray and study and lay yourself out before the Lord and lay your finances out before the Lord if that's the case, because we're teaching along those lines now. And we teach on all kinds of subjects in this church. If you're visiting, you just come. This is not what we teach every service. This is what we're teaching this service. That's a profound statement. But you ought to lay that out before the Lord. You sure want to lay your marriage out before the Lord. You sure want to lay your Christian walk out before the Lord. You sure want to forgive when you have bitterness. You sure want to love when you're tempted to hate. Well, lay your finances out before the Lord. I always get tickled people getting baptized. I think when you get baptized, you ought to go under with your wallet, because that seems like the last thing that we give up, you know. But God has a lot to say about finances, not just loving people, not just forgiving people, not just living holy, not just gifts of the Spirit and healing and you know, and prophecy and all those wonderful teachings. That's all part of the Bible. But God also has something to say about money. And I think a lot of times we're in obedience to God. We're submitted to Him concerning loving people and maybe living holy. But you know, we're not paying one bit of attention to what He says about our money. And I'm not talking about just tithing and giving. I'm talking about all the rest of our money. You know, budgeting, saving, borrowing, cosigning, investing, all those other things He talks about. Okay. So, 21st verse, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Now, turn to Psalms 25. Man, this is good stuff, I'll tell you. And really, I'm just stirring you with this. We hadn't really got any specifics. But you do need to get the cobwebs out of your mind concerning the matter. God does want you to prosper, but He does it systematically. God's a God of order. Right. Most likely, you're not going to get out of debt overnight. You probably didn't get in, you know, overnight. It took you a while. But if you'll give God your time and your faith, then He will bring you out and He will help you. Amen? Now, it says here in Psalms 25, notice the 8th verse, good and upright is the Lord. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Absolutely. God knows what He's talking about. This wisdom that God is talking about here is good and it's upright. There's no question. You say, well, I don't want to hear all that. Well, I'm sorry, that's just part of the Bible. You need to black out then. You need to get you some scissors. What you ought to do is write your own Bible. That'd be a good one. Just write your own Bible. And just pick out the things you want to hear and then cut everything else out. Uh-huh, yeah. Oh, Pastor, can we teach on something a little more spectacular today? I don't want to hear about this. Well, it is part of the Bible. I'm sorry. I'm just so tired of it. I don't want to hear all that. I know what it is. You don't want a budget. I know what it is. You don't want to balance that checkbook. Okay. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He teaches sinners in the way. What does God do? He teaches, right? Now, first, the humble He guides in justice. The humble, He teaches His way. So really what God does, of course He changes our life, no question. But He changed our life through teaching us and through guiding us, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. In other words, that's the road to walk on. That's the path to take. That's the teaching. That's the guiding He gives us. God gives us guidance, and God gives us teaching. To such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. Now, if you'll keep them, if you'll do them, if you'll heed the teaching, and you get on the path, and you keep His covenant and His testimonies, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. God will tell you what to do and what to choose. He himself shall dwell in prosperity. Wow. How? By the teaching? By the guidance of God? By the wisdom? See, wisdom brings wealth. We see that in Solomon's life. We see that in Proverbs 3. We see that in Proverbs 8. We see that here, obviously, that he himself shall dwell in prosperity. Who will dwell in prosperity? The one who is taught by the Lord in his way. The one, the humble person who is guided by God. And then he goes on, he says, his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show him his covenant. This is God's covenant. You know, I think of Deuteronomy 8:18, which very plainly says, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. That he may, why? That he may establish his covenant. God wants to establish his covenant in us and prosper us and bring wealth in our life and get us out of debt. See, we're not supposed to be in debt all of our life. He wants us out of debt. Or we can be a bigger blessing and a bigger help. Are you with me? Psalms 34. A couple more verses, we'll close this out. Psalms 34. Notice, this is a tremendous psalm. I encourage you to read the whole thing. And in fact, really get all this in context. Just read the whole Bible. Start in Genesis, go all the way through Revelation. Psalms 34, 8th verse says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. 9th verse, O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. No want or lack to those that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack or want for any good thing. Now let's back it up a little bit. First of all, how am I not going to lack for any good thing? Those that seek the Lord shall not lack or want for any good thing. So if I'm not seeking God about a situation, then I have no guarantee of any kind of prosperity or success in that thing or that area, whatever it is. If I'm not seeking God about my, about my finances, if I'm not seeking God about my marriage, if I'm not seeking God, whatever I'm not seeking God of, I have no guarantee of any prosperity or wealth or success in that area. But whatever area I seek God in, I have a chance or a possibility of success. And if I hear God and listen to God and obey God and fear God, there is no want or lack to those that fear Him. But there again, there's a submission to some teaching. There's a submission to some instruction or some commands there. It is through wisdom that you prosper. And even here, that's not just a verse that has no conditions. It says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord. It didn't say those that know the Lord, those that believe in the Lord. No, it says those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Wow. So there's that wisdom again. And what did Solomon do? He sought the Lord. He asked for wisdom. That's why he was prosperous. What does wisdom do? It causes us to inherit wealth. And then, final and closing, Psalm 37. Can I give you one more passage after this?
Sure.
And then we'll close it out. One more passage after this. Passage could be like Psalms 119. You don't know. You know, that thing's a bunch of verses in it. Psalms 37, this is familiar. You ought to know this. Another great chapter. Psalms 37 is a good chapter to memorize, to get into your spirit, say over and over. Psalms 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. There's instruction, there's wisdom, there's teaching, there's guidance. Are you with me? That means that a good man is doing what God's telling him to do. Now, he's not saying everything you do, God ordained it. No, he's saying he ordered you to do certain things. If you're a good man, you will obey, you will do those things. A lot of people use that verse to say that whatever happens to you in life is God. No, that's not what he's saying at all. Because you can choose not to do what God says to do. See, but a good man, his steps are ordered the Lord. Are you with me? And he says, he delights in his way. The man delights to do it. He wants to do what the Lord orders. Right? Though he fall, and you may fall, but you know what? It's not over. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. History is filled with men and women who failed over and over and over and didn't give up and kept going. One of the biggest failures politically there ever was Abraham Lincoln. And he finally became the President of the United States of America. If you study his history, though, he failed one race after another. How many times Thomas Edison tried to find the light bulb? Depending on who you read, 700, 7,000, I don't know. I read so many different figures, I'm so confused, I don't know what he did. I feel like I've eaten Peter Pan peanut butter or something here, I don't know. But whatever it was hundreds or it was a lot before he ever got successful. So if you fall, well, if you're a righteous man, you're loving God, you're doing what God says to do, you're not immune to attacks. You're going to be attacked in this life. But yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil, for the Lord is with you. His rod and his staff, he comforts you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all. You don't stay there. You don't die there. You say, well, what about Job? Job had twice as much stuff at the end of Job that he did in the beginning. And the whole ordeal Job went through, most scholars believe, was probably less than 9 months. Everybody talks about Job and his suffering, but nobody talks about Job and his prosperity at the end of that book. Twice as much as he had in the beginning because he held on to his faith in God. Hello. And Job didn't even know what we know. Yet he held on to his faith in God. So it says here, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I've been young, I've been old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed or descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Why is that? Because his steps are ordered to the Lord, and he delights in his way. And he might go through his tragedy, but he gets back up. Are you with me? He gets back up. And that's what you need to do. You need to get back up. The tide will come in again. It will. You know, just get ready. Get ready to get blessed. Hallelujah. Okay, in closing, this is it finally. The last, ultima. No, really. Psalms 112. This is it. I'll close it out right here. Psalms 112. Helping you? You need to pray. Just pray. Pray God give you wisdom. Pray over your finances. My goodness, you ought to pray over your finances. I think the biggest problem we have, we don't even turn it over to God. We won't even touch it. We don't even talk about it. We won't pray about it. You need to pray. You need to hit your knees and pray and ask God to help you with your finances. Not just God give me money. God tell me what I need to do. What I need to change here. Help me. Help me with my finances. Help me balance my checkbook. Help me get a grip on my finances. Help me with my spending. Help me with my, savings and budgeting and all those things. God will help you because that's God's word. He wants you to do that. Right. But it's an area many times we've just not even prayed about. Or if we have a business we hadn't prayed over. You'll be praying over your business every day. God blesses it. Oh, hallelujah. Give you a favor. Give you wisdom today in your business, on your job, whatever the case may be. Psalms 112, this is it. I'm going to read about 5 verses. You know, 10's all of them. Well, let's start in Genesis and get it in context. Okay? No, this is it. Psalms 112, verse 1. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. There it is again. Don't separate that from the rest of this. This is a person who delights in God's commands, who delights in his word, who's obeying God. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house. Listen, I want to challenge you. There are so many other scriptures that you can turn to. You ought to get a concordance out and look this up. Over and over, the Bible talks about blessing his people and blessing his children. But it comes through us listening to him and obeying him. We always talk about the Jews. They're so blessed. You know why they're so blessed? Because they're doing what God said to do. If you'll watch their families, they teach them good finance. They teach their children good finance. How to handle money. Because they got all the money. Yeah, and they earned it. Hello? And if you do what they did, you'll get what they got. They're just taking the Bible as a map, as a manual, and they're just following it. Which we ought to do. So he says this. He says, wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion, righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion or justice. He'll do things right. Hello? His affairs, he's doing them right, see? And I think most of our problem is we're not handling our affairs right. Our financial affairs are not being handled right. But if we'll handle our financial affairs right, wealth and riches will be in our house. We'll be like this man. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. Oh, man. Okay, I got to quit this. I'm thinking other scriptures, and you know, I got to stop. So, bottom line is God wants to prosper you through the things you do. And wealth comes from wisdom. So what we want is wisdom. And when we talk about riches and treasure and so on and so forth, we're not talking about just money. You'll have a rich marriage. You'll have a treasured marriage. You'll have a rich, treasured family and life. Everything would be blessed. Not just financially. Yes, financially, but not just financially. Wisdom will cause you to prosper in every area of your life. You know, that man that's blessed, as the Bible says in Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't take their advice. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Because he's meditating on God's word. Amen.